But excited to be here, thankful for this opportunity. It's a privilege to be behind this pulpit. I do not take it lightly. I would have wore some shorts or something else, but again, it's just it means so much to so many people, and to have this opportunity to share what God has placed on my heart is truly a privilege to do so. My name is Harley Gentry. I have the privilege and honor to be the senior pastor at Bethel Church. We got any Bethel Church folks in the house? Yes, we do. So it is a blessing. They treat me better than I deserve. My family does. And because of that, I'm going to do the best that I can. But there's one more person I'm going to do that for, too, and that's Jesus Christ. Because only he can take a prisoner and make him a preacher. Amen? There was a pastor and a president of a soap company walking down the sidewalk one day, and the president of the soap company looked at the preacher. He just said, "I don't understand if Christianity can really work. When I look around the world, there's misery, there's trouble, evil abounds. I just don't think Christianity is effective. People's been preaching good news and good things, how to treat your neighbor all these years, and still it really hadn't helped." The preacher, believe it or not, couldn't say anything. He was stumped. They kept walking a little bit further. They come upon this little boy in a mud hole, just nasty, mud from head to toe. Preacher looked at the president of the soap company. He said, "You know," he said, "with all this soap all over the world, I just don't think it's effective. That boy's dirty as can be." Before he could finish, the president of the soap company said, "Whoa, wait a minute, preacher." He said, "The soap will clean, but you got to use it." Preacher said, "Exactly. You can believe in soap all day and still die dirty." Amen? But here's the point. I want to ask you a question this evening. How effective is the gospel in your life? You wearing steel-toed boots? If you ain't, it's okay, because I'm aiming for your heart, not your toes, okay? How effective is the gospel in your life? Because the truth is, it has not and will not ever lose its power. It's the power that saves and sanctifies. Saves and sanctifies, amen? And I'm thankful for it. And I want you to do something for me, if you don't mind. Would you stand and take your copy of God's Word, if it's digital, physical, whatever it may be, and turn to Philippians chapter 3. I was praying last night that Dr. Smith was not going there. I was like, "Oh my goodness, I'm going to change this thing about three times." Dr. Smith, we appreciate your rich teaching. It's been amazing. Amen? It's been good. It's been rich. As you're turning, we tried to take a vacation. If you're in ministry, you know what I mean when I say we tried to. There was one day in particular, though, that we were able to let our daughters have a photo shoot where they were mermaids. Isn't that every little girl's dream, right? They wanted to be mermaids. I mean, they had the fin, they had the tiaras, they had it all. And it was fantastic. And as I was preparing this message, God hit me with something. And I don't want to bust anybody's bubble, but just humor me, because we know about mermaids, right? Ain't real. But humor me for a second. It wouldn't take them long to realize that they wasn't a mermaid, because it'd be hard to swim with that thing, right? Wouldn't take them long to realize, when they'd have to come up for breath, that they're not a mermaid. But the Lord was speaking to me, and I really felt this impressed on my heart, that there's people out there, when they do that, we call them phony, fake, imposters, impersonators. Cops, coaches, and Christians probably impersonated the most. Cops, you can have all the things you need. You can have lights on your car, but you ain't got the authority. Coaches, I won't name it, because we know folks will get offended in the South when you talk about football. You can look them up. But there have been some that were great coaches, but they actually didn't graduate from where they said they did. And in fact, they didn't graduate at all. So they didn't have all the criteria that they needed. And of course, Christians, y'all know we're getting there. Beloved, it's time. We can't always do something when somebody attaches that stigmatism of a hypocrite, right? Now, we can guard against that, but what's happening in the world is we've actually unhitched holiness that's been attached to it. We need to get hitched back to it, And that will unhitch that hypocrite. The world don't need more impersonators. It needs restoration. And contrary to what's being spewed from pulpits across America, it breaks my heart. Restoration is ongoing, and transformation is a fruit of the process that we call sanctification. Here's what Paul says in Philippians about this ongoing process. Not as though I had already attained, achieved, obtained, that he's got it. Either we're already perfect, reached perfection, or complete. But I follow, I press on, after, if that I may apprehend, possess, or take hold of, that for which also I'm apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Verse 14, I press toward the mark, the goal, for the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me this evening? Lord, we thank you for this opportunity. Lord, hide me behind your cross. Give me the words to say. Give us ears to hear and eyes to see. We give you all the honor, glory, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated this evening. Tonight, I want to give you a message that's entitled Christianity from a Noun to a Verb. Paul's telling us in this passage that he hasn't arrived. He's not perfect, but he's striving for perfection. However, I'm willing to guess some of you, as soon as I mention that word, you ain't heard anything else. You just heard perfect, and you're like, perfect? Wait a minute. There ain't nobody perfect. You're right. We've heard Dr. Smith talk about this transforming, renewing your mind. You got to think of Christ's way, not the world's way. It's not necessarily wrong how we understand perfect, but when you study John Wesley and what he meant by Christian perfection, it's this ongoing process. We will absolutely be perfect when we get to heaven. But while we're here, did you believe? We should. You can absolutely live to where God's will, and you submit yours to him. You submit your wants to what God wants. You can live that way, beloved. Paul gives us this message, and it's wonderful, and it's rich, and that's our heritage. But what are we doing with it? We've heard about what it means to live this out, the gospel of Jesus Christ. But can I ask you something? We want to just get people to church. But if the gospel of Jesus Christ isn't changing you, then why do you think somebody's going to think it's going to change them? Aiming for your heart. Paul's striving for this. But this term perfect is ongoing. It's something that we're striving for. It's something that we absolutely will need help with. Well, Pastor, why does this matter? Nobody's perfect. We can't do this. Well, why does it matter? Well, James 1:22 says, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. There's a little action that needs to take place. You hear about the Lord, Christianity, Jesus Christ, but then you're supposed to go. We struggle with that word too. But we're supposed to go. Beloved, God's calling us. When we hear the announcement, we're supposed to be the announcers. When we hear the report, we're supposed to be the reporter. And Dennis Kinlaw had a message entitled, Message to Messenger. From a noun to a verb. Salvation gets us inside the garage for restoration. But how fitting would it be to just walk by that garage wanting that new paint job? It never happens. You in the garage, that's fantastic, but ain't nothing else going to happen to that thing getting restored. God's calling us to something, beloved. Sanctification, Christian perfection is becoming more Christ-like. It's becoming more like Christ, the one that we've given our heart and soul to. We become more devoted, more disciplined, more dependent on the one who we're trying to become more like every single day. But I want you to know something. Sanctification ain't just self-improvement. Now, we all need self-improvement. I'm the first to admit that. Absolutely. But sanctification is not making a good person better. It's not making a sick person well. Sanctification takes the dead nature to the divine nature, which is what God's calling us to. What's the process or the method within this process of sanctification? You've heard it said many times. I have it just bing every time I hear somebody say it. Obedience. Obedience. But the truth is, the understanding of this and the actual truth of obedience has been lost in society today. Well, what do you mean by that, preacher? What are you talking about? Let's look at the definition. And by the way, we put some notes out just in case I couldn't get everything on the slideshow, but there are notes. If you want some, they're in the pews somewhere. But look at this definition of obedience: compliance with an order or request. How's that viewed today? I'm not going to comply to nobody. Or I'll tell you what, I'll comply with somebody as long as I get my way. Compliance with the law. Well, that law ain't fair. That law restricts me. I ain't going to obey that law. I don't know who they think they are. That's just not good for me. Or submission to another's authority. Woo! I ain't submitting to nobody. What's the most common phrase we hear? Only God can judge me, right? That's where we get on that. Nobody's going to control me. Nobody's going to have authority over me. I make my decisions. But the truth is, when we look at obedience and we see this connotation, even if you do obey, there's an element within if you don't want to obey and if you do want to obey, the same element is true. And I'll give you an example of that. We want to obey. We'll follow the traffic. Whatever the speed limit is, that's what we're going to follow. But we still gripe about it. I can't believe they got 35 right here. You know, we should be able to go a little bit faster. So the element that's present, even if you're doing obedience, you're supposed to be doing what you're doing, even so, the element that's involved is force. Even though you're complying to it, you still feel like you're forced to do it. And obviously, it's very prevalent when you don't obey because force is there. Think about that with the force there, because Satan's used that since the garden. He wanted Adam and Eve to think God was forcing them to obey. But here's the good news tonight. We need help obeying. We can't do it on our own. That's good news? Yeah, it is. Because here's what happens when we try to obey. We'll obey when it comes to standards, the rules. What do we do in the South? We're supposed to what? Go to church, right? And the belief is if we don't go to church, God's going to smite us down. He just waiting, man, we don't show up, he's just going to knock us down. That's how we think. So we're going to obey and follow the standards. But the problem here is there's no intimacy with Christ. We're just kind of going through the motions. I don't steal a car because I don't want to go to jail. I bypassed you shouldn't steal, right? Well, I'm just thinking about the consequences, so I'm going to obey according to the standards. Second way we obey on our own and try to is causes of surprises. What can God bless me with? Woo! I'm gonna give because I know God's gonna return this to me. God's gonna bless me. What can I get from the Lord? What can I get from the Lord? But see, renewing your mind, the concepts we think in the world, well, we work more, we're supposed to get a bonus. I don't even know if bonuses happen anymore in today's economy. And just a little side note, I don't know if you heard how the jobs increased substantially, but what they didn't tell you is no new people got jobs. It was actually people that already had jobs getting second jobs, okay? So it's like, wow, huh? Thanks. I mean, look it up. It's just like, man, it's right there, you know? But I want to get something from you, Lord, so I'm going to follow you. I'm going to do good because God's going to bless me. I'd hate to think my girls love me just because of what I give them. Woo. So the standards we'll try to obey. What we get, surprises, we'll try to obey. And the last is statuses. Well, I'm going to obey God because he's the man upstairs. We're just raised to know, well, God is higher than me, my boss. I'm going to listen to my boss. He's over me. Like, that's the thinking of that. But here's the problem with every single one of those. When that rule don't go your way, you ain't obeying no more. When God don't bless you, you get laid off, the bank account's getting low, you ain't going to obey anymore. And when God lets that thing happen that he's supposed to be in control and you can't believe he let that thing happen, you're going to stop obeying. So guess what? The good news is we can't obey on our own. We need help. Pastor, again, how is that good news? Because we realize it. Hopefully you've got to the place before to where you realize that you need help with it. And praise God, here's what Jesus says. John 14, 15 through 17, if you love me, keep my commandments. Verse 16, and I will pray to the Father, and he will give you another what? Helper. That he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. But does people see that? Friend, God wants you to know him. Not just know about him, not just know of him, but fully know him. I've said this before. Jesus accepts, but then he expects. He will absolutely accept your confession, but then he expects you to accept the calling that he's given to you. It's ongoing. Many want a Savior, but few want the Lord. Salvation is just the beginning to a life of full pursuit. I often say, chase Jesus. Well, I've already found him. You can't get enough of him. That's how I look at it. Lord, I'm going to keep running after you because I can't get enough of you. When Jeannie was talking about the outpouring today, man, I'm about there squalling because I wanted to go. And I went. I slept 2 hours, left on a Wednesday night after service. They had a landslide. Half a mountain fell off. Amen. I'm trying to get up there. Half the mountain done fell off. I'm going back roads. We really were eastbound and down. I'm telling you, I had a semi truck in front of me on a dirt road. And I thought, man, Lord, if you'll just let me make it. I mean, it's raining. It's just, Lord, just let me make it. We had one stretch. I'm looking at GPS. I don't know how I had a signal. We had one turn to go around that Mack truck. The trailer just slid on off. Cars behind me. The side of a mountain's over here. But I made it there. But when you hear what God's done about the three people groups that had never heard the gospel and they heard it, praise the Lord, I want to get to where the Lord's at. I was standing out in the rain. I thought, man, I got to sing. I got to preach Sunday. I didn't care. Lord, I just want to be with you. I don't think Jeannie was the only one that was convicted when we were there. I mean, man, the Lord was just boom. Do you see it? Do you get it? Living a life of holiness. Young people, it's not just for the elder, the old, it's not just for everybody. It takes obedience. But we've got help from the Holy Spirit. What happens when we begin this life of pursuit? The Holy Spirit comes in, and the Holy Spirit goes deeper into your heart than you can. We can't go but so deep in that heart that's full of sin. That fallen nature. That's why we need the Holy Spirit to bring that out of us to our attention to see. Being sanctified means that you're going to be able to testify and hear before it hits the lips. But boy, there's a lot of people using those lips before they found it in here. It's a mystery, but it ain't magic. It's a method, but it's not a machine. It's not superstition, but rather a decision that we have to make every single day of our life. Again, God did not force Adam and Eve to obey him. Satan wanted them to think that way. Did God really say? God just don't want you to know. He's just forcing you to obey him. What kind of God is that? You'll know as much as he will. Come on, it's okay. A little sin's like being a little pregnant. Eventually it's going to show. Some of y'all are it'll show. Your sin will find you out, as my father-in-law says. God is not going to force you to obey him. God's not going to force you to follow him. God's not going to force you to love him. He gives it to you, and then it's up to us what we do with that. And beloved, I stand here tonight before you and proclaim that God still requires obedience. And we start talking about sanctification and holiness, and it's a job trying to do that when you're talking to the teenagers. I love teenagers. But you got to get down a little bit lower sometimes. And when you think of holiness, you get all of God you'll ever need. When you say, Jesus, yes, will you be my Lord? And say, you get all you'll ever need the rest of your life. Sanctification is, does he have all of you? Does he have all of you? I want to spend eternity with Jesus, but you don't want to spend the morning, noon, or night with him. Gosh, I find that hard to believe. I want to share three areas with you of sanctification. Christian perfection, and what God does and how it helps us take Christianity from a noun to a verb to put it in action. To go and make disciples. The first one's this, perfect trust. Perfect trust. This is where your investment grows. Your trust in the Lord will grow knowing who Jesus is. Knowing what he's done for you, you grow in your trust because you're investing your life with him. You're turning it over to him every time that you're wanting to make a decision. You go beyond God's saving grace. I like what Job 42:5 says, my ears have heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. Boy, I've heard the gospel, but whoo, boy, I get to see him. You go from that saving grace to that sanctifying grace. Beloved, here's something that we can do to help us in that is to just listen. You want to perfect trust? Just listen. We must listen to him. John 10:27 says, my sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. The Holy Spirit will guide, but you got to listen. You got to listen to him. I'm thankful for Asbury University. I didn't con them to get a degree, I promise you. It was hectic trying to get that thing. But I'm thankful for it. I'm thankful for OCU, Kentucky Mountain Bible College, Wesley Biblical Seminary. I'm thankful for Christian education, but no amount of education is going to substitute for the Holy Spirit. No amount. You got to listen. Why is it important with trust? When you read the whole text of 1 Thessalonians, thank you, Dr. Smith, for reminding us of the importance of that. When you read about that, you read about when Paul starts this off that there's been a great revival going on. People have turned from worshiping idols, and they started serving God while they were waiting on Jesus. You see examples of work of faith, labor of love, and a patient hope. He even mentions to them that they're examples to others. But can you imagine that kind of move of the Spirit? Praise God, I can. I was at one in February. But it can happen absolutely right where you're at. And something that I want to add to this, not that I could add anything to it, but I want to express this to you. Because often we pray for revival and we want revival, and it's up to the Lord. He can absolutely do it. But what's going to happen if it pops off at a church around here? What's the first thing all the other churches going to do? Well, They just think they're having it. Y'all know how it goes. Come on. Can I tell you something about how just impressed I was with the faculty, the leadership? And I'm not just saying that because I gave them a bunch of thousands of dollars at Asbury. I'm not just saying this. God's grace was prevalent because, man, it was probably the most organized. It was so organized in just a moment that would seem just so chaotic. But God don't work like that. He works in order. He works on purpose with a divine purpose. But Paul got a little worried because he had told the church in Thessalonica, hey, trouble's coming. If you're a new believer, trouble's coming. You can't escape that. He was worried. He sent Timothy to give a report. But they were doing good. Timothy said, man, they're doing good. But here's why I'm laying this out for you. What God wants you to know about perfect trust is because when you start to listen, and what happens with this perfect trust is you're going to get to the place to where you become a shouter instead of a doubter. You're going to get to the place to where you overcome the trial before it's even over. Woo! You ain't got to get beat up the whole way through it. Man, halfway through it, you can jump on up and say, Lord, I trust you. Have your way. Though you slay me, I'll serve you. Your perfection of trust will grow when we listen. Number two is this. Perfect love. Man, we could spend forever on this one. But this is where our intimacy grows. See, the obedience, we mentioned them ways earlier. There's no intimacy in none of that. It's just you. Maybe you got some head knowledge and you got a great work ethic, but eventually you're going to hit the brick wall. You've got to have help. But this is where the intimacy grows. John 14:21 says this, those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. And because they love me, my Father will love them and I will love them and reveal myself to each of them. I never hear from God. Read this, Dr. Smith, out loud. You hear him. All day, every day. But what happens as this intimacy grows is we must have a longing for him. As I said earlier, you can't get enough of him. You've experienced his love. You can't get enough of it. You want more and more, and then you want to give more to others. How can I get this longing, though, preacher? You got to know him. Trusting him more, you're going to start loving him more. Psalm 119:40, I long to obey your commandments. We just talked about obedience. Ain't nobody longing to try to follow the rules. Woo, but when you get a hold of that sanctifying grace, and man, it's changing that heart, and you're like, woo, Lord, what do you want me to do? Tell me. You ain't got to tell me twice. But you can't love him if you don't trust him. And when you trust him more, you love him more, you are exposed to him more. Woo, what's that do when you're exposed to him more? 1 John 4:16-17, we know how much God loves us. And we put our trust in his love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God. What a fellowship to live in God. But God spoils us because it says, and God lives in them. Woo! And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in the world, in this world. This isn't saying we don't have any love. It's just saying we need more of it. Why? Because our desires, Holy Spirit's working on things, our desires, we still want to try to have one foot in and one foot out. When you think about salvation, if I had this chair and I sat in this chair, like we heard earlier, how far can I go? How far can I go? Wrong question off the bat. But if I'm sitting in that chair, what's the chances of me falling out of that thing without a medical emergency? Slim to none. Now, if I get bold and stand in it, it goes a little higher. I start standing on one foot, y'all going to be like, somebody get this guy, he's crazy. You get where I'm going with that. Wrong questions to ask. I want to stay seated. I want to stay connected. I want to stay tuned in to what God's calling me to and what he has for my life. Not just so I can be somebody special or anything. No, because he can get reflected through me. People see Jesus. So perfect trust, perfect love. Number three is perfect compliance. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior, happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above. Filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story. Come on. That's our story. Praising him all day long. Perfect submission. This is the compliance. And here's what happens in that our identity grows. Our investment grows. Our intimacy grows. But then our identity grows. We heard earlier, where's people looking for their identity on the inside? If the Holy Spirit ain't in there, whoo, that ain't that. You don't want to be pulling something out of there about who you are. You definitely can't get it from out around here because you don't have enough likes. You're not the right height. The list just goes on. Lord, who do you say I am? Lord, what do you have to say about me? Are we so in tune with the Lord that we're submitting to his will? Don't mean we're robots. Don't mean you ain't going to have your own desires and wants creep up in there. That's not what that means. It is. I wish it was not that way. But what it does is we acknowledge to comply with God's will over our own. I've said that before in 2 Corinthians 7:1. It says, therefore, since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates the body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. Your want to will change. We got to listen. We got to long. And then when we're in compliance, we must live for him. This is where the rubber meets the road. Remember, the Holy Spirit isn't dependent on us. We're dependent on the Holy Spirit. We're not saved to sit. We're saved to share. We're saved to serve. We're saved to be sanctified. But many people stay in the form of Christian as just being a noun. That's who I am. Never goes any farther. We know this in the Wesleyan Arminian, we know this is what? The gap of sanctification. There's a gap there. But thankfully we can overcome it because we're given roles. We're called to good works in sanctification. We're called to pray. We're called to have Holy Communion, the sacraments. We're called to study the Bible. These are known as means of grace. In other words, when we pray, God's going to listen and he'll... Now here, let me go a little bit further than maybe the televangelist wouldn't do. You may not get the answer you want. He'll answer you. You may not get the answer when you want it. It may not be the answer you want, but he will answer you. But man, it's great to know that he'll hear my prayer and that he will answer. When we study God's word, he'll teach us and he'll show us his will and his way. Confession, fasting, it's all ongoing. It's not just a one-time deal. We keep doing these things because this is a relationship, beloved. This is what happens when the relationship gets built. Speak to my holiness rollers in the house. Are we for our love of God and love of others? Or are we known because of our love of self, forsaking others? Again, I'm not trying to step on your toes. There is a world that needs the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you might be the last person that they have the opportunity to see it in. The laborers are few, but there's a lot of imposters. I can't get right, preacher. I was born that way. Y'all know what we say at Bethel. Need to be what? Born again. Is that okay to say? We got Nicodemus, you got to be born again. We can't focus on getting one decision from people. We got to focus on getting more discipleship for people. You may want to write this one down. The things that we talk about, it's not rules, it's a relationship. Okay, well, you said that earlier, preacher. What are you getting at? Because here's why we need to understand this. Rules will lead to rebellion. Amen? Rules will lead to rebellion. Why? Because we've already established you can't do it on your own. You're going to get frustrated. You don't understand why this is going. You're trying to figure it out when the answer's there the whole time. The relationship. How is your relationship this evening? There may be somebody in here or some people in here that you've never been saved before. You can be. Where would you go tonight if tonight was it? Well, I think, I hope. I said this prayer one time. Those are wrong answers. You need to know, and you can, through the power of the Holy Spirit. I know where I'm going, preacher, but there ain't an ounce of fruit in your life to prove to it. And that's between you and the Lord. Amen. I'm just telling you, though. You're going to have a fender in that garage getting restored. You're going to have something done to show that you went beyond just getting inside the garage. There's no spiritual level of grace that we can reach to where we can't fall. Wait a minute. Oh, where's he going? There is no amount. Satan is prowling, searching to kill, steal, and destroy. The wiles of the devil perfectly planned schemes to get you off course. Look at how many people fall in ministry. Can't get past that, beloved. It's always a possibility there. There's people that believe in what's called unconditional security. Once saved, always saved. I've said a prayer. I'm covered. Here's the problem with that, okay? Now, hold on, because we're going to get to the other side of that, okay? Don't tune me out. Hold on. We're going to make it good for everybody, okay? Here's the problem with that, because you don't see the need to go further in your relationship with the Lord. Oh, I'm covered. I'm good. The Holy Spirit starts to bring forth this mess that you need to get out of your life, and you're like, oh, well, it's covered. I ain't going to deal with that. I'll just ignore it. I'm saved. God's got me. Why do I need to grow? I'm covered by the blood. Beloved, the blood only cleanses at salvation. It don't just do that. It keeps on cleansing. It keeps on cleansing. It's not a one-time deal. It keeps on washing us. It's not a once-and-for-all cleansing to where you go back to your own self-reliance. It's a cleansing where you laugh, man, I got to have that every day. Give it to me, Lord. I need it. I'm only as clean as a filthy rag, Lord. Cleanse me. Your mercies are new every morning. I need them. The blood cleanses your attitude, your words. It cleanses the deeds that do not line up with God, ultimately that which do not love Him and does not love others. The blood is cleansing. You're created on purpose for a purpose, and it's to love God and love others. And within that, you've got a calling that God's calling you to live that out. But you've got to obey. Get the song leader or somebody to come up, if you don't mind, and just play. So unconditional security. Here's the flip side of that. There's some folks that believe in internal insecurity. Every time they do something wrong, pew, Lord, I need to get saved. I say do it many times you need for it to take, but do you know you can live beyond that? You know that you can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God saved you? Because just like I said with the one that just thinks, I don't need God, I've said this prayer before, it's good. There's no need to keep going the same things here. You're not going to get past it. What you don't realize is that the Holy Spirit's going deeper in that mix of your desires and God's desires. And he's pulling them up so that you can what? Get over them. Break those chains from them. You've got all the power you need. You've surrendered your life to him. The Holy Spirit's showing that, but you're so scared and you don't know what's going on. Every time you do something wrong, boo! Lord, I need you. Forgive me. I want to be saved. Here's what you do when Satan starts bringing it up to you. Tell him, you ain't going to have no power over me no more. That guilt, that shame you're trying to beat me up with, no, I've already been washed by the blood of the Lamb, and God's washing this mess out of me. You ain't got no power over me. But Lord, if you'd admit it, that you're a sinner, you believed in Jesus Christ, to who he said he was, he came, he died on the cross, he rose again, you confessed your sins, the Bible says you're saved. You can go read Romans 10. It's a great passage. The Holy Spirit resides in your heart if you've done that. And you can't get rid of that mess on your own. You got to have help. Look at it this way. Not because you ain't gave your life to him. He's bringing it up. That's showing you evidence that you're saved. God loves you enough to get that mess out of you. You ain't got to walk around defeated no more. Praise him for revealing it to you. And I don't believe in unconditional security. I believe in a little bit of security, and it's found in sanctification. It's going to be hard to fall out of that chair if you're sitting down. It'll be hard to fall if you're chasing the Lord every day. Amen? But I'm fixing to close. We spent a lot of time talking about Jesus as Lord tonight. Some of you may need to accept him as a Savior. Some of you may need to say, you know what? I need to rededicate my life. Some of you may say, well, Pastor, I really didn't know that it goes beyond that. Well, praise the Lord, you know now. As they sing, I want you to come forward. Because if you've never received Christ, you can pray a prayer and receive Christ, but it don't stop there. But if you know you're his, 2 Chronicles 7:14, you know it. If my people which are called by my name, my people, you need to be one of his people. But if you are one of his people, shall humble themselves, pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. Would you bow your heads?
Have thine own way.